Hello and welcome to the Vorthos cast. I'm Jayanelli.
I'm Lorelei Weissel-Labrizzi.
I'm Brian Dawes.
And I'm Chris Delano, and I'm going last this time. It's been a while since we've had four people on.
Well, we just got back from MagicCon Chicago last week. And it was a time. Let me tell you. So the whole cast went. We were invited as guests. And we did a panel on Scoundrels, Outlaws of the Multiverse, or Wanted Scoundrels of the Multiverse. Sorry, we changed the title once or twice, so that wouldn't be my only flub having to do with this panel. It should hopefully be available online by the time you're listening to this, so go check it out. It's essentially our last week's episode. And also, it's the 6th anniversary of the Vorthos cast, so that was a cool thing that happened, too. We've been doing this for 6 years now.
I don't know what you mean. I've been doing this for 4 years.
Well, Lorelei's been doing this for 6 years. I have been around for 6 years, but not necessarily doing it consistently.
There's also a really good joke that I've only been doing this for 5 years, and then I talk about my dead name, but I'm not going to make it right now. That's for a very narrow audience.
So yeah, we just wanted to chat about the con experience, both what MagicCon Chicago was and our time preparing for it. I think overall this was a much easier panel for us than our MagicCon Philly one. Yes, would you all agree with that?
Yeah. Our Philly one was kind of a story summary of Eldraine through Obi-Wan in prep for March of the Machine, and that required like a lot of specific, like basically each section was, hey, here are specific things we have to say, and it was a lot to try to remember. This one was a lot looser. This one, I went in with the, I know broadly what I'm saying. I'm going to ad lib when I'm on stage because I'm a person who does that. It's called improv, yes, and. I'm actually not, I don't do improv comedy, but I'm quick enough talking about the things I care about that I can just vibe up there. But, yeah, no, it was a lot lighter also, like, It didn't feel like we were reading off wiki pages.
Yeah, for Philly, we kind of were reading off wiki pages, just like of our own writing. But it was sort of like the Philly panel felt more like something we had to like memorize.
Yeah.
Because we had a very short amount of time to talk about a lot of information, and we actually like had things we needed to say or else it wasn't going to work at all.
Yeah. I had note cards for Philly. I did not need note cards for Chicago.
Yeah,
I should have maybe had note cards for Chicago, but I definitely, we didn't have note cards. It was much more like a normal episode of the podcast, I guess, a little bit. A little more rehearsed because we rehearsed it for like months, and a little bit more like staged than a podcast episode. But also part of that, it comes from being on a stage, you know?
Yes.
And so it's like, it's much easier for us to like talk to each other over Discord, where it's just essentially 4 to 5 people in a room talking to each other. When we're on stage, it's 5 people sitting at a weird angle from each other wearing microphones.
That is fair.
It's a lot harder to like have the normal cast rapport when you're on a stage versus when you're, you know, sitting in a room on Discord.
we can't
interrupt each other like we just did literally now. I was, and get away with it.
I was literally about to say, we also can't edit in post when we talk over each other. So I think this is a good note for Chris when editing that, to not cut us apart there, to leave that in to demonstrate why doing it live is a lot more difficult than doing it pre-recorded.
Yeah, we only had no basic information. The characters were split up across all of us, so each of us got 4 characters, so there wasn't too much for anyone one person to remember to do. And we had fun with it. Like, we took the criminal angle and had a lot of fun with it. And I hope that comes through.
It's goofy.
For all of you. We also had an incredible amount of energy right in the front row. As several fans of Magic Story were very exuberant. And we appreciate Radley bringing some people over to sit. Because it was a very large seating arrangement this time around.
Yeah.
Like, they had a lot more seating than they did at Philly. I think that was one of the things, like, when we got out there, because, you know, I'm not shy about having a bit of an ego. Egos are important for making art because they give you confidence and drive, and understanding how to harness that is important, and understanding how to manage your own ego and not let it make you arrogant and diva-y is important. But so, like, my ego exists, right? Managing that is sometimes stressful because I walk out there and see empty seats and go, oh no, we're failing. But that's not true. Like, so, like, Philly, we had a mostly full audience, but I think about, like, the audience size in Philly versus here, I think they had more than twice as many chairs. Like, just massive amount of space. The stage was also way bigger, way fan, like, everything was just bigger here in Chicago. So I think our crowd was smaller than in Philly. There were also just a lot more panels in Philly, because, like, you know, there weren't competing panels over in the community panel room in Philly, because just everything was main stage. And the venue itself was smaller, so it was easier to get. It was just different.
I should also note, like, the lines and the crowds were insane, and this was Saturday, the busiest day.
Right in the morning.
And I feel like a lot of people, in the morning, an hour after the place opened, people were still filtering in. And the people who were filtering in, the seats, like, basically, if at 11 a.m. you didn't have a table, you were not getting a table that day.
Yeah,
so
it's also when people start their events and before they drop. We also had people filtering in as the panel went on. It was nice.
The short of that is we had a great crowd.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful.
Plus, we had, like, the hundreds of people waiting in for the con store watching.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm going to count them as part of our audience, too. It wasn't it wasn't a bad audience.
No.
We were about, I'd say we were about a third full in the audience. However, talking to Roy Graham and Mark Rosewater afterward, their panel was basically the same. So it's like, it wasn't us, right? It was just, that was where, how Saturday panels were going that day.
If you
don't have a preview card, it's hard to get people in seats.
Yeah. You heard it here first, folks. We're just as cool and popular as Mark Rosewater.
So do we want to talk a little bit about, like, the development of the panel and, like, stuff like that, because that might be something good for people to know.
I think we were like, hey, do we want to submit a community panel to Chicago? Yeah. Well, okay, what should we do? Well, what if we talk about villains heading into Thunder Junction? Yeah, okay. And then we wrote it up and submitted it, and it got selected, and that was kind of it. With Philly, we had, like, I think we submitted, like, three different ideas. We're like, oh, make sure they're different and nimble so we can, like, shift and flex as to their needs to make us, like, look attractive as people to select. And this, we're just like, yeah, no, number one idea, banger, ship it.
Yeah, I don't.
We did submit two for this one, actually.
I don't even remember what the other one was.
We had another one that was, like, a Murders at Karlov Manor related that I'm glad didn't get accepted, because, like,
that's old hat. No one cares about
that. Yeah, the momentum from story stuff there. But it was in there. It was more of, like, a recap.
Yeah.
Of Murders at Karlov Manor. Yeah, but it didn't go through. We did. Basically, the process for this one was a lot more like the process of creating an episode. We all put together a list of, I think our first list had like 30 legends or something like that.
Jay,
and then
around there,
you put together the list, because I think what you did was you just searched through all the legendary creatures who were rogues and you just put all of them on the list and then got rid of the ones who were dead. And then I don't remember how you got all the other ones, but I know it started with you.
Like, no, you all added a bunch. You know, like, we did have the rogues, yes, but no, it wasn't just rogues. We finalized that list together, and
we all
added things. I had the basic list, yeah. And then we cut
a lot of your suggestions, and we put in some brilliant ones from me, and then we had,
as is always the case, right?
But yeah, so we made our list. And then, like, from there, we just started, like, figuring out what we would say about the characters, I guess, is one way to describe it. And then from there, we cut a bunch more characters because we realized, like, we have a lot to say about some of these people. We just thought they were cool. One that I remember cutting pretty early on was Tetsuo Umezawa, because I was like, I want to talk about her, but, like,
there's nothing to say.
There's nothing to say. So she got cut pretty early on, and there was a lot of those like that where we just like really didn't have much to say about them, so we just kicked them out.
Then we built up rap sheets for each of them.
Yeah, that was the fun like, part. Let's was do like their listing out all their crimes and realizing, oh, Tezzeret has done everything. Tezzeret is so evil.
Doing character summaries as rap sheets is really fun. As criminal records, I should say, was a really fun way and unique way of tackling it. I think it was a lot of fun. I'm really glad we handled it that way. And I am very, very, very appreciative to our friend Carrie, who could not make tonight's podcast, who made all of these amazing slides, like just like 10,000% more effort than I was thinking would be put into these, because each and every one of them is incredible. Okay,
they put magic cards in a Pop-Tart. I expected this level of effort.
that's true. So yeah, I think overall it was that process was very fun. And the rehearsal didn't do like months of rehearsal. We only had like
two or three to four weeks.
Three weeks, I think, between our initial, all right, let's just meet tonight and go over our list and kind of sketch out like what we're talking about for each character is. And then we only had like two actual rehearsals. And then we did one last one right before we went up on stage to make sure we were ready. And it was good. I mean, it helps that, you know, we were doing hour-long format shows for 6 years now.
Yeah.
So we're pretty good at just hitting that mark pretty effortlessly. You know, the effort is more when to stop talking than when to add things in.
Speak for yourself.
Brian, you did great. You did great. But yeah, I had a lot of fun. It was a very enjoyable experience.
The Asmerata Martica Dyson Akuldakar flub is gonna haunt me forever.
The rest of your days.
It was like the second one, and like the next 12 I said perfectly fine. But the one, at least I didn't say murders at Markov Manor.
I did say that, yeah. I never said that in one of the rehearsals, which is why I flubbed it. Because I was talking about Kellen's story, and I decided to bring up the full set name, and I botched it. I said murders at Markov Manor, and yeah, that it is what it is.
You know, it's fine, Jay. You didn't even have to tell anyone about that, because they're all going to watch the video and watch it. You know, 20,000 people watching you mess up that line. It's fine.
They're going to be, well, hopefully we have 20,000 people watch that video.
Hopefully 30,000 people watch you mess up that line.
Part of the reason we're on the main stage this time, like Lorelai said, I don't think there wasn't really a community panel room in Philly. So everyone was on the main stage. However, our video on demand did really good numbers for a panel that didn't have previews. And I think that was part of the reason we got selected to do a main stage. We did, and there was another community panel submission that got selected to be a main stage panel. I don't remember who it was exactly. I think it might have been Lords of Limited.
Yeah, the Lords of Limited Live podcast. Yep. Had a main stage. There was a lot of like WotC panels that also felt kind of like the kind of stuff you'd get in a community panel, like people talking about art and things like that. I thought the fact that they did a panel about Ravnica just in general was a really cool choice to do, especially since it sort of is related to Murders at Karlov Manor and it's sort of related to Ravnica Remastered, but it's more of like a historical look back rather than about the sets themselves. So cool stuff. Cool stuff.
Anyway, I'm glad I didn't have to memorize like lines and lines of dialogue, and it was just very free flowing kind of things we do all the time. And yeah, it was very nerve wracking. So I tweeted about this because I think it's important to let people know that we're like human beings and being
speak
nervous
for
something. Isn't... Okay. but anyway, I brought up like my anxiety for the event because I was mentally, I knew I was completely prepared. There was not anything in me that thought, oh, I wasn't ready for this, but my anxiety was still dialed up to 11 right up until we got up on that stage. It's just, it is what it is. It's something I've always kind of had to deal with as well, having like this extreme anxiety reaction to these things, and keeping it under control. But yeah, it's nerve-wracking. It's definitely not an easy experience, but I'm so glad we did it. It is so much fun every time. And, you know, these people are my friends most of the time, except for Chris. He's been kind of mean.
I cannot recommend enough, Jay, when we are backstage, just grooving out to the music that they have in between panels.
Lorelai was just jamming.
I was just swinging. So, like, I don't get nervous.
I started
stuff
doing
like
a little
this.
Bit of it because you were doing it.
So, like, I get really energized by stuff like this. So I was just like vibing and relaxed and was like excited and anticipatory. Like, come on, is it time to go out yet? I want to go out there and do this panel. Yeah. So I once I got mic'd up, I was just wiggling like the whole time. They got some good grooves backstage.
I was backstage downing coffee as quickly as I could because we were the first panel of the day and we didn't really have enough time beforehand to like go get coffee. So I was like running to get backstage just so I could take some of the free coffee because I was that desperate.
I don't drink coffee, so I had a 8:30 a.m. Coca-Cola.
But yeah, it was we made the choice when going to Chicago that we would stay in a hotel that was further away from the convention center. Not like far away, but further away. And I think that was a really good choice. It did. I mean, like, there were some downsides to that. Not being in the convention center meant it was like harder for us to like stay later or like go to things after dinner if we wanted to. Not that I think I had any energy after dinner to go do things.
Yeah, no, I was done. I'm old.
But it also meant that like we were at the convention, but we also got a lot of time just like hanging out together in Chicago, which was really nice because we only see each other in person now once a year ish. So it's good to be able to like get away and go do things like have nice dinners and like go see the Bean.
We also had Radley as the honorary sixth member of the Vorthos cast with us for that weekend. He was very fun. He's totally normal, as he kept assuring me the whole time.
Very normal.
Hey, no, I was a fan of staying a little bit away from the convention. It was nice to like get away from the convention center and get away from that vibe. And go to sleep at 10:30
and actually be rested for the next day.
There's all these stories about like, we like lobby conned until 2 a.m and I'm just like, how? The answer is booze and then ibuprofen the next day, and I'm like, well, I'll skip the lobby con and still take ibuprofen the next day. So that's where I am with these things now.
Needed the ibuprofen for all the walking we did.
I felt like a good con dad having the ibuprofen for everybody.
Yeah,
I think I give every member of the cast ibuprofen at some point.
Yeah, I sure did in the middle of Sunday be like, hey, Jay, you have any more of that ibuprofen? So thank you. Thank you, drug dealer daddy.
Can you give me a hit? Can I get a little bit of that ibuprofen?
Why are you making it sound like a South Park bit?
I don't know.
We should fire you for that.
I was sitting here contemplating if I was going to cut that or not.
I need to start wearing like gel insoles or something. With the caveat that I wore Chucks the whole weekend, which wasn't the smartest choice.
I need them too, Lorelai.
Chucks don't have good support, by the way, because they're just really basic canvas shoes. But like with the concrete floors, I should just put my insole. And I like, it's not like I don't have insoles. I have insoles. I wear them in my goth boots because I'm in my 30s. next time, so like PAX Unplugged is probably the next event I'm gonna be at.
Same.
I am probably just gonna wear my insoles to PAX. And that'll save me some wear and tear on my poor little achy beats.
For those of you who were not at the convention, to give you a sense of size of this convention center, just the like convention center floor where all the booths and the stage and stuff were, and like the tables, to run from one corner to the other corner took like minutes. Like not just like a while, but like genuinely like a noticeable amount of time was required for you to walk from one end to the other one. I know this as someone who ran from one end to the other of the convention center, that it was like a trek. That place was huge.
You could park a couple planes in there easily.
Yeah. Easily.
So let's move on to talking about the convention itself. Now I think that's a good segue. So we mentioned earlier it was crowded. I think the crowds were a huge, huge deal, especially on Saturday. Friday was okay. Sunday didn't feel too bad. Like I noticed empty table space at some point. Not a lot of it, but occasionally empty table space. Friday was fairly easy to find a place to sit and play a game. Saturday, we played on the floor downstairs, like away from the main con, and they had more tables like kind of secluded away in different spots, but even then, like there was not a lot of room to sit and play a game. So we played floor magic like Richard Garfield intended. It was not good for my back though.
I was gonna say I will not play floor magic. You like Never straight up
I'm too old for
if
that
you're
now.
Like yeah, we're gonna play a game of floor magic. And we're playing all bad decks, and you could win $20,000 if you win. And I will give you like 3 turns head start. My response would be, I ain't playing floor magic. I need that money, but I ain't sitting on the floor. It ain't worth it. That money's going to go into fixing my back.
While they're sitting on the floor, you just go steal it.
Lillian from our Discord just mentioned that there was a entirely separate convention between the convention and the hotels. Yeah, the convention center was so huge. There was another convention. I'm not entirely even sure where it was located. There was just a dentist convention also in the convention center that I would occasionally see people from.
It was in the main convention. So like, I also want to like, we were in the Lakeside Center, which is like the annex of like, we were on across a bridge in an annex section of the convention center is massive. Yeah. The dental convention, so when you're walking up into towards where the MagicCon was, the dental convention was like off to the right on like the second floor, I think. Saw through one of the doors.
Yeah, it was a big space. It was a lot of walking, even for a convention, it felt like. Now, when you got there, pretty much everything was in the same spot except for the community panel room, which was like a little ways off to the side. But the one thing I'll say is it did have a much better con feel than any of the ones I've been to so far.
Yeah.
And to be clear, I was at Magic 30. I was an invited guest at Magic 30. I was at Philly, so I've gone about once a year to one of these, and the improvement was noticeable. The one thing I was disappointed at is the, like, planeswalker layers were gone.
Yeah, those were sweet at Philly.
Those were, like, really cool. They had really cool vibes of these different, like, essentially it was like a small set that was all taken from, like, the March of the Machines. The lead up to March of the Machines.
A small
arc.
Set, like Cold Snap.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, sure. Why not? That's no. Exactly. So, yeah.
But, however, what replaced it was kind of neat. It didn't have the same vibe. It didn't have, because, like, I really think those Planeswalker layers were just excellent, but it was very hard to find a seat there unless you showed up early. Now, what they replaced it with was an activity. So it was like a giant layer that was the Agency of Magicological Investigations, and there was, like, a puzzle thing you could do all throughout it. And if you solved whatever the heck was going on, you could bring it up back out to the front, and you'd get, like, some stickers and a Raimi badge that was a pin, which is pretty cool. So you had, like, the opportunity for a unique pin there. There were also, like, Fallout signs everywhere that if you did this little Fallout scavenger hunt with the different signs and you finished it all, you could get, like, this Fallout photo op in addition to, like, a little Fallout bottle cap. So I thought that was neat too. Like, that was both of those things added some dimensions to it. There was, like, there was a genuine kids area.
Mm-hmm.
There was something I really liked at PAX Unplugged, which is Paint and Take. Like, I am surprised Paint and Take didn't, I wish I had had time to sit down and do it, because, like, the Paint and Take, the miniatures they offered for it were, like, $20 to $30 miniatures that you could get for free by sitting down at the Paint and Take and doing the painting.
Mm-mm.
There.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. That's a gateway drug.
It is. It's true. It is. Uh-huh. Speaking of drug dealing, yeah.
You tried to get me over there, and you tried to get me over there at PAX Unplugged last year, and you tried to get me over there at this event, and Jay, I need you to understand that if I do one little free paint and take thing for a miniature, in 3 months I will have spent like $100,000 on Warhammer. And that is not fair. A life I can live.
That is fair. That is fair. Yeah. No, I can barely handle all the miniatures I still have in my backlog. And I'm pretty sure most of my paints are runny or dried out now. But
please, desperate ask of everyone in the world is, do not ever try to get me into Warhammer. I will lose all my money and time and die on the streets.
But in addition to that, there was, like, the Magic Kids area, where it's, like, a learn-to-play area for kids. There was even a kids' story time at one point. I'm fairly certain I picked got an ask about what were the best, what's the best magic stories for a certain age range. So I thought about which ones Arjun would enjoy and gave a list of, like, 5 to 10 magic stories from the last 10 years for that. And I think that was the story time that got offered. There are only a few kids at the story time, but it was a neat idea. Like, they tried to make this con more family friendly and accessible. So that even if you don't bring your kids every day, like, you can bring them one day and they'll have stuff to do. And maybe your partner, your spouse can, you know, shepherd them, go do other sightseeing with them while you're somewhere else. Or if you just come from Saturday and you do other sightseeing and stuff, like, Saturday, there's still stuff for the kids to do there. Which as a parent is a really neat thing. Like, that's why I tried PAX Unplugged with my son last year. And that's why we're going again, because he loved it.
That's because PAX Unplugged is in Philadelphia, which rules.
Yeah. Speaking of story time, one thing Carrie did was they printed off a bunch of, like, magic stories from over the years, like web fiction, and turn them into little booklets you could fit in a deck box. And so if you ran to Carrie at some point over the weekend, you might have seen them or gotten your hands on one. I know that they printed quite a few, and by the end of the weekend, it didn't look like they had very many, if any, left. So somewhere out there, someone's got a deck box, and you'll sit down to play Commander with them, and they might just pull out a book and start reading. But I thought that was cool. I thought that was a cool thing to do. There was a lot of like story interest while we were there. Lots of people talking about story. Lots of people talking to us, which was cool about story.
Yeah, no, the like Twitter Discord crew that we know fairly well was all there. I didn't realize who was who until later in the weekend. But yeah, I was like, oh, it's you. Like, I've interacted with you for years. I apologize if I threatened to push you down an escalator or something like that. But to be fair, you were trolling me in real life.
Very specific thing to apologize for, Jay. I feel like maybe you might have threatened to push someone down an escalator.
Listen, what was said doesn't need to be litigated. So anyway.
Yeah, seeing fans of the show is probably one of the biggest highlights of the weekend, in my opinion. We also brought like some extra play mats to give away and some like stickers and tokens.
We made tokens. Were the coolest things. Tokens are the new MTG content creator business card, right? Like you just... It's an easy thing to do that you can hand out to everybody. And I think a lot more people are getting in on it over like doing play mats and stuff, because those are expensive and logistics are difficult. And they're big. One every few years and they're hard to carry around at a con. So like I could have 50 tokens tucked inside with all my other tokens that I'm going to use for a game anyway, and just reach in, pull it out and hand it out to people who showed interest.
Yeah,
it was nice.
I just had my tokens in a deck box with some of my dice and some extra sleeves. And, you know, that's just a second deck box instead of like carrying 20 playmats, which is like a second backpack. Right.
Yeah.
It's very space efficient and frankly, a lot cooler, I think.
I definitely packed playmats to give away. And when I was packing to leave, I was like, why is there so much more space in my suitcase? there was like a noticeable, space in there. But we gave away some playmats to folks when we saw them. It wasn't like a thing that we could do for everyone. It was also not a thing that we like planned. I just kind of gave playmats to people when I saw them if they didn't have one of our playmats.
It was nice. I gave away a good amount of the tokens. Like we kind of exist in a space in the Magic sphere where, you know, this is not humility or anything, but we're the group that's like known to the other creators, but not to like much of the general Magic public. Like, especially for me, like I would view that as like my quote unquote fame. Is like most of the content creators knew there, or the ones who've been around for a while knew who I was. And like, otherwise it'd be like, I might get stopped once or twice a day at most. Like it was nowhere near the amount that like our friends who are significantly more famous than us in the community couldn't walk 5 feet without being stopped. Sam, our Rhystic Studies, put a really good short little blog post out about meditation on fame in the Magic community and how these Magic cons have kind of amped it up to another level, where when it was just Magic like GPs and stuff, relatively famous Magic people could more or less walk around conventions without constantly being stopped. But something has changed since Magic Con or Magic 30, where it's just... Especially if you're like a famous YouTuber, it is impossible to move around and you really need to have like a buddy with you. You basically need a bouncer so that you don't get cornered by folks. And that leads me into wanting to talk about the parasocial relationships and events like these, because, you know, there was this huge creator arena, which was great, by the way.
Yeah, that was a really good space.
I wish I could have done like a book signing there or something, but I want to say in general, the area itself was really nice. There was like a four-sided booth essentially where they had like meet and greets going mm-hmm. throughout the day and other events. And there was like a spectacle play space where they played like game of Magic with like giant cards and one person had a regular deck. It's the same space where I played the mini DH deck, the one using the world's smallest cards. And then there were tables that were reserved for creators to play games against each other or with their fans, which was nice. And we tended, when we were playing for most of the time, we were we tended to hang out around that space because the people we wanted to talk to as well were generally around there.
I mean, it was also right next to the command zone free play space. So
yeah, like, yeah. So it was very convenient. Yeah. It was also a good place for, like, those meet and greets is a good way to avoid having people stopped or, like, hunted down by fans at the convention. Mm-hmm. It was a good, like, I think meet and greets, even with, like, smaller creators there, is a good idea because it kind of burns off that need to, like, stop people everywhere or track people down. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but I think with the parasocial relationships of creators, especially when, what's the best way to put this? I think I noticed, not me, I didn't have any problems. Anyone who interacted with me, you are wonderful. But hearing from a lot of my friends who tend to be much more famous than me because they're, you know, much more talented and do things I don't do. They had a lot of problems with just getting constantly stopped in and outside the convention hall and the convention center. And man, I wish Magic players had better boundaries for that kind of thing, because, like, I heard some stories about, you know, like, you're out to dinner and, like, with your friends, it's after the con, you're trying to relax, and having like fans of whatever your thing is show up and kind of like crash what you're doing, or, you know, some people getting followed around a little bit. Like, it's there need to be some clearer boundaries for Magic fans at these things, because, like, I know there's things like LobbyCon and stuff like that, and at that, I think that's fine. But if someone's just out to, like, lunch or dinner and obviously is not in the interacting with fan space, people really need to leave folks alone, right? Like, you know, we did dinner with or lunch, I mean, with a bunch of different folks. So one of the things we did is Brian and I tagged along with Carrie and a bunch of people from the Discord and from Twitter. And we all went out to and had some lunch together. And that was really nice. But if you just see your favorite creator at lunch, like, showing up and kind of like crashing probably isn't the way to go.
Yeah, I agree with that. That same day I went to lunch with Lorelei and someone else who is much, much more popular than us. And we definitely had that sort of experience of, like, someone crashing lunch and just wanting to, like, do a normal thing of, like, oh, hey, I saw you and wanted to give you a thing and get a signature. But, like, sitting there and, like, waiting for like a to be acknowledged and just like waiting a really long time and then like also wanting to just hang out, it's like, that's not, we went to lunch to like have lunch, not do this. And then like, but also like even on the way there was like seeing people who interrupted other people's lunches to like get signatures and stuff, and it's like, those people are very gracious, but like, do not interrupt my lunch. I would not react so nicely. I would not have been like, oh, nice to meet you and sign your card. I would have been like, excuse me, I will now be eating you for lunch because nope.
Yeah. There's definitely a boundary line there where, I mean, even with these parasocial relationships, I'm wary because I'm calling some of these people friends. We are friendly. Yeah. We are familiar. I've known them for a long time, but they're not my besties, right? And some of them, you know, like, I feel like if it's at the point where they've given me their cell phone number, we're probably pretty good friends, but I'm not going to, like, text them all the time either outside of the context they gave it to me. Like, I feel like there's a certain the parasocial thing is very difficult to navigate. I did a whole thread on it because I try and match, like, people who are more famous than me, more busy than me, I try and just match their energy. If they're excited to see me for like a minute, then that's great. I'm very happy I got that minute of the time, especially when they're like incredibly busy, everyone's flagging them down the whole con. Even if we were closer friends, they wouldn't have really have time for me. But yeah, there's definitely a different vibe to these things because I feel like when it was back in like the GP era, or even just Command Fest, right? When it was just Command Fest and not MagicCon yet, it was much easier to just sit down for a game with one of these people I'm friendly with. Because you don't have to be friends to be friendly, to be liked, right? There's levels to friendship. Like, you might like your coworkers. You might be friendly with them. You might be excited to see them. You might be, they might be excited to see you. You're never going to invite them over to your house, right? Like, there are those, you know, those people, and that is okay. And there's people that are just going to be like that for you in your life. Anyway, I've rambled about this a lot. I just wish Magic players had better boundaries, because I know I am constantly nervous about, like, trying to be more familiar and friendly with someone in the Magic community that, like, does not feel the same way back.
Yeah, I a big part of it is, like, oh, how do I want to word this? Saying hi to people is great. Most people will be happy to say hi. If you want something signed, and, you know, it's a situation where that can happen, you know, ask for a signature. But, like, when that's done, like, move on, please. unless, like, you are being held into a conversation, like, people are busy, people are there to see other people. And, like, if it's something like the creator zone where it's a specified, hey, this creator is going to be plopped in a chair with the explicit purpose of, like, signing and chatting with folks, like, you know, that's fine. But, like, if you just, like, run into someone, say hello, exchange a couple words, keep going. People are busy, people are tired, you know, have nice little interactions. Especially if it's someone who doesn't know who you are.
That's a tough one, too. Yeah. Because like I mentioned, even with the people I like, I didn't even always realize who everyone was.
Well, yeah, I keep a mental note of, like, who are my Twitter mutuals with? Because if they see my insane posts, then they're probably okay with, like, saying hi and, like, meeting in person. Because, like, there's also just, like, a lot of people I haven't met in person. And, you know, if I don't have a time to chat with folks, you know, so be it. But, you know, sometimes it's nice to say, hey, we exist in Meet Space. It's great to meet you, like, in person. And, like, you're physically real. We haven't done this before, even though we've been Twitter mutuals for a bunch of years. And I got to do that with a couple people this weekend. You know, people did that with me also. And, like, that's nice. Like, acknowledging, hey, we exist outside of the internet rules. And, like, you know, in the future, you can build on that if you are, like, mutuals or something. But, like, yeah, the I follow you, but you don't follow me. That is a place where you kind of have to understand, like, the dynamic here of knowledge and excitement. Because, like, it's when someone I don't know approaches me, it's just like, yeah, if you listen to my content, you know a lot more about me than I know about you.
And that, ain't that the truth? Yeah.
And it can get, you know, like, sustaining a conversation at that point is like, I don't really know you. I don't know how to talk to you. I'm autistic. If I don't know you, then I just really don't know how to communicate with you. And, like, some people are great with that and some people aren't. And, like, I will never hold it against people if they're really fucking awkward. Because, you know, who else is really fucking awkward a lot? Me. So, like, if you're awkward around me, I don't care. That's, like, whatever. It's the
awkwardness is fine.
It's the, like, sticking around and, like, insisting on taking up my time, that is where that parasocial imbalance really rears its ugly head.
Now, I will say, since we've been doing this for a little while, I met a lot of people who listened to the podcast who were absolutely lovely.
Yeah.
All of the people I met from like the Discord, wonderful. Got to hang out with a bunch of people. That was really cool. Shout out to the person who stopped me to like ask for a photo and a signature that had never happened to me in my life. So that was like a really cool.
It's neat, first isn't time it?
Feeling a little popular and be like, oh, someone wants to say hi to me. And that was really cool. And it feels yep. kind of silly because I'm like over here like, oh, my God, that was so cool. Someone stopped me and asked me for a signature. And they were absolutely lovely. Wonderful, wonderful time. But then I like think about like people who are really cool, who I also like know in the community, who just like could not walk from one place to another without being yeah. stopped constantly. And they have every right to complain about that while me over here like someone said hi to me. It made me happy.
they're not even complaining yeah. about it. It's just, you know, they're mentioning it's a new reality and they have to adjust to it.
Yeah.
I think for fans, if you're afraid of the parasocial relationship aspect, I think one thing, especially Magic fans who might not be used, they might be used to going to the LGS alone or the GP alone, but they don't have like convention experience. Mm-hmm. You need a buddy. Like yeah. you need a social support so that, you know, maybe that relationship is, you know, more than parasocial and you get invited along and that's cool.
Can't have Jay. He's my buddy.
But, you know, like one thing that was very nice with the cast is that some of us can come and go with other people we know. But yeah. we still had, you know, we had buddies here that like we could tag along with for things. And I think that's really important. Even if it's not someone you know in real life, if you have a Twitter mutual whom you know is going and you like a lot, you can just talk to them. I'm like, hey, do you want to hang out when we're at the con? You know, and I think that would help a lot from like stories I've heard from people who have felt very awkward at these events, having that social support. Like at Magic 30, if I didn't have Donnie Cultrider, who rocks, he's a an art agent. He wrote for Hipsters of the Coast, a bunch of art articles, and he's also a fellow Marylander. If I didn't have Donnie there, like it would have been a very different experience for me because it would have been a much more lonely one, I think. Because, you know, all the wizard staff I know are like working the event.
Yeah.
And that one in particular, they were all working the event all weekend. So, you know, or, you know, they were away, they were off doing other things, that, you know, anyway, so, I really appreciated having Donnie around. And I think that was very valuable in navigating these spaces. You just need to have that social support with you.
All right, we're going a little long, but I do just want to talk about like other things about Chicago than the convention.
Oh, yeah,
that were really cool. Like, it was really cool getting to like see the lake up close and like,
yeah,
go walk along that lake for a little while. That was really nice.
Yeah. So
we had a couple of like really incredible lunches.
No, I'm still talking about the. Let me talk about the lake.
Okay. Talk about the lake. You're like to talk about giant bodies of water.
I've thankfully already dropped some F-bombs this episode, so I'm comfortable doing it again. I try not to swear too much on the show because we try to keep it vaguely PG-13. But people don't understand how fucking big the Great Lakes are. They are literally inland seas. They are absolutely massive. And I have a lot of reverence for very cool things in nature, especially water. I love the ocean more than like any other place on the planet. And Lake Michigan is pretty close to being next to the ocean. And you know, it's been, I haven't been to the beach since I think September, because I don't live next to the ocean anymore, which sucks. I really liked living next to the ocean. Anyway, going down to the lake on, it was a Friday morning, and just like vibing. And it was like 9 o'clock in the morning. There's hardly anyone out. You know, it was early in the trip, so we weren't goddamn exhausted yet. And just like taking some quiet moments and just vibing next to the lake was really, really nice and like spiritually uplifting. And very calming for me, and I really liked that. We ate a lot of really good food, Chris. Yes, that is correct. I'm still thinking about that Sardinian cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We also, yeah, Brian had like a veal chop that looked incredible.
I am also thinking about that one bite of Brian's veal chop I had. I need people to understand it was like the most tender piece of veal I have ever put in my mouth. It was so good.
It was very good.
The dinners were very nice. I'm glad. That's the other thing I think folks should understand is a lot of the time, while lunches are a bit more freeform, dinners, like for most people who are experienced with these things, are booked well in advance, right? Like we made reservations for Friday and Saturday night because we knew it might be a challenge getting seats otherwise at places. And we wanted to make sure that we knew when, as a cast, we were going to all be together so that we could have our dinners together. And that was very nice. And, you know, it's even if we like people, it's like, well, like the place doesn't have seats for more than six people at a table. Like this is a reservation for six. There's not much else we can do about that. But it is always very lovely catching lunches with people as well.
And sometimes breakfast.
Oh yeah, breakfast. I forgot about breakfast.
What,
yeah.
What was that? What was the name of the donut place we went, Chris?
Stan's Coffee / Stan's Donuts.
I think it was Donuts and Coffee. I think it was Stan's Donuts and Coffee. Chicago.
Yeah.
Oh my god, those donuts were good.
Yeah, definitely. If you're in Chicago, they have a lot of locations apparently in like Illinois in general, but Stan's was really good. Really good donuts, really good breakfast sandwich too.
Yeah, everything there was great.
Yeah. Definitely recommend it. It was like that was another bonus of like not staying at the convention center is that like we could like walk to places that were really good nearby and
we were trying to do public transit there and back.
We did go off-site for lunch the one day. What was that place called? Joyee, I think it was called.
Oh, yeah, Chicago's Chinatown was nearby and had amazing food.
Oh my god, I was unbelievably good. Every single one of us ordered too much and that was excellent.
Yeah, it's the kind of place where like you're supposed to order and like share with each other, but we had like five different people with different dietary restrictions and like we all wanted something different. So it just turned into this like, oops.
In retrospect, I think Jay and I should have shared.
No, 100%.
Yeah, no, because I would have eaten more of the dumplings we got also.
Yeah, I should have shared with Ari.
Oh, I heard a dog. Yeah.
There's a dog.
Somebody rang the doorbell. Calvin has found his voice with the new house, and he started barking whenever someone rings the doorbell now.
Good for him.
Well, it's good you have someone protecting your house. It was a great time. My highlight from the weekend is just going to be hanging out with all of you because hanging out with podcast folks is always the most fun thing we can do. I always have a great time. So that was good.
I got to extract brain a Kozilek the Great Distortion. So that was pretty sweet. That was a good moment for the weekend.
I remember that. Yeah,
no. And like playing Magic is fun. And doing panels is obviously great. I love doing panels. Put me on more panels. I love panels. I can be trusted in front of an audience. I say that sarcastically. I actually can. I'm very good at it. I like it. The main reason I go to events like this is for the people. Getting to hang out with y'all on the podcast. You know, getting to see friends that I only ever get to see at events like this. I've never played a game of Magic with Shivam. There's like one moment at every con where we're just like, yo, what's up? How you been? I'm tired. Oh, I'm also tired. And then we don't see each other the rest of the weekend because we're all busy. Just getting to see old friends, people I've known for years, and meet new people. I met a bunch of new people. I said earlier, getting to put faces and voices with people that I only know from Twitter posts or emails or Discord messages. you know, at its core, MagicCon is about people for me. It's about the gathering is the cheesy thing to say. But for me, who really loves the social connections in my life, if I didn't play a single game of Magic all weekend, would not impact my enjoyment of the weekend.
I played two. I played two games of Magic.
Which is twice as many as I played in Philly.
I only played one.
I brought five decks and I played with four of them and I played one deck per game. So I only got like four games in. But to be fair, we would get there, we'd spend 2 hours and then it'd be lunchtime. You know, the 10 a.m. opening is a little rough on that front because we'd leave for lunch and then we'd be back at like two and then we'd leave again by like six or seven. It was to be fair, we were off site for about half the con time anyway for meals and
we left Friday at like 4 or 5. Friday, yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot of like, well, we're gonna go to lunch or dinner later and we're so tired. Let's just go back and take a nap. we're old. We're old. All right. We should start wrapping this up.
Yeah.
Do we want to do unrelated final thoughts, or do we want this to just be the final thoughts of Chicago?
No, it would just whatever. Whatever you want. Final thoughts can be whatever.
All right. Jay, do you have a final thought?
My final thought, well, there's no DLC for Gigabash coming out. So here's what I'll say. I just played through all of Dredge.
Yeah.
And loved it. It was a nice little compact game, and I am currently, I was obsessively playing this in the evenings, like right before bed and on the plane.
Can't confirm.
To and from Chicago, and I was playing so much Dave the Diver, and I'm very excited for the Godzilla DLC they have come out.
For all aspiring game designers out there, I will point at Dredge as a game that makes, like, perfect use of its size. I think Dredge gives you exactly the correct amount of content that it wants to have in the correct amount of time that it wants you to engage with its mechanics and story. I think it does a really excellent job being exactly enough for the scope of the game, and matching that scope and hitting those targets is something that really elevates a game, and missing them makes your game feel really empty or really overstuffed. And I think Dredge is a really good example of when you nail that. That's not my final thought. My final thought is that we're getting fucking hoverboards in Destiny, starting with the reset. We're getting so your normal patrol zone transport are called Sparrows. They're essentially speeder bikes from Star Wars. And for the first time in 10 years, we're getting a new personal vehicle type that are called, I think they're called skimmers. They're essentially just flying surfboards that you can rail grind on stuff with and do like kick flips with. It's sweet as hell. I'm really excited for them to exist in the game. They look really cool and fun. I'm looking forward to it. Hell yeah. A thing I never knew I wanted out of Destiny, but I absolutely need now.
My final thought is I've been watching Solo Leveling, and it's awesome. I love the premise, and it's a great anime, and going full weeb here, so there you go.
I was about to call you a weeb. You cut me to it. Yeah.
That's okay. You want to talk about full weeb? Jay and I had a very long discussion at the airport when we were leaving about Gundams. So
yes, yes, I really love that Lorelei is getting into Gundam. You said you were on Double Zeta.
Yeah, I'm halfway through Double Zeta. It's starts out so goofy and. Lordy, is war bad at the point where I am right now? we are starting to hit the Gundam tradition of killing characters So we just had our first real major character death of Double Zeta.
Well, I don't watch any of them animes.
Well, you should really be watching Delicious in Dungeon, because it's
yes, that one's good too.
I watched the first episode of that and I liked it, but I have not gotten to watch more of it. My final thought is just I played some Fallout because these Fallout decks look really cool and really fun. I like when Universes Beyond does things that I like for properties that I like. So just hot take here, but Universes Beyond is good when it does a property that I really like. So been kind of just playing some Fallout. I don't know. It's been like a week since we left for Chicago. It's been like, you know, 4 days since we got back, and it feels like it's only been one day. Like, I forgot the rest of this week happened. Tomorrow is Friday, and I can barely remember, like, Monday. It just went by too fast.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that's Lorelai, the end.
You wanna do our-
so I guess the final Chicago thought is we literally would not have been able to easily afford this trip without all our wonderful support over at Patreon. Patreon.com/TheVorthosCast if you're interested in supporting the show. Literally biggest damn thanks to our patrons for basically making this weekend possible for us, this MC Chicago trip. It's weird that people give us money for the show, and it's never not gonna feel weird. You know, we're really thankful for all our patrons. You know, everyone who does support us on Patreon gets access to our Discord community, where Vorthos is from around the world are listening to me give this spiel every episode, pretty much, and having a good time and having a lot of really great discussions. We are finally hitting some new information. So we have a lot of speculating about Bloomborough and Thunder Junction. Chatting about Modern Horizons 3 now that we have some previews from each of those sets. You know, we're heading into about 3.5 weeks away from previews for Thunder Junction. 3 or 4 weeks, maybe. I don't know. I think we're like only 3 weeks away from story. Because I think that starts like the 18th. So soon, like Thunder Junction is going to be here soon. So I'm very excited. And the folks in our little community are excited too. And it's a great place.
Thank you all for listening. This has been the Vorthos Cast.